I'm Doug Nadvornik. Today on the Enlin Journal podcast, getting more Native American students to choose health sciences careers. A very small percentage of the people who work as health professionals in the U.S. identify as Native American. Only 0.5% of registered nurses and licensed practical nurses, according to the online website Minority Nurse. That figure's about the same for Native physicians, according to the American Association of Medical Colleges. Washington State University has worked on this issue for many years. For about a generation, Dr. Robbie Paul served as the university's coordinator of Native American Health Sciences. She oversaw the Nahashni Summer Camp, where Native high school students would come to the Spokane or Pullman campuses to explore science and science careers. 2 years ago, she retired. Her work has been passed on to Dr. Naomi Bender. She recently came to Spokane from the University of North Dakota's Indians into Medicine program. During the last 45 years, Bender says that program has trained about 240 students to become doctors and another 500 for other health careers.
Native American students have a significantly different historical context and background than that of other underrepresented students in the United States. When we look at the history of Native Americans in the United States, a lot of the concerns in terms of education and even health disparities that exist now are due to historical trauma and a continuous burdening of issues and concerns over education and the lack of support and education for students on their reservations or in rural and underserved areas. So, for example, I've worked with students that have come from elementary, junior, and high schools where they were never taught science, where they lack math instructors. And so when we look at the health sciences, it's important to have pathway programs that help stimulate and ignite interest in students who don't come from an education system that should be offering them what other students receive, right? And so part of a pathway program would offer an enrichment and academic program for students in the summer or in addition to their academic year. And so when we introduce those sciences, even at a really young age, we help ignite that interest and hopefully propel them into the interest of becoming healthcare providers.
Naive question, why are they not offered the math and science courses that other students are in other districts are getting?
So there's a few reasons. One, lack of funding can be an issue. Also, it's hard to keep teachers in some of those rural and underserved areas. And so to provide health and science type curriculum in those areas can be difficult. You might get an agriculture teacher, but you may not be able to find a biology teacher. Now, some reservation in rural and underserved areas are able to find that, others are not. For those that do, it's typically one science teacher that may cover two or three subjects, but it may be something that a student is only receiving for 1 or 2 years, and it's not something that's a continuous curriculum throughout their time in K through 12 systems. And so I don't always like to use the word watered down, but it tends to be a watered down system. They're not offered the same educational pathways as other students. And I don't mean to speak about that generally. However, we often see that in rural and underserved areas and poverty-stricken areas among our Native populations.
So then what's the best way to catch those students up then?
So part of my work here is to help ignite that kind of piece. So visiting schools at a really young age and introducing them to the health sciences, whether that's through scientific exploration and educators that come in and help their instructors teach students, even in diverse ways of how to bring and bridge math and science together in fun ways for youth. Another is to provide enrichment camps, such as our Nahashni camp, where we bring students in that are in junior high or high school to explore the health sciences and also get them inside simulation labs, help them explore research, have them see their potential. And without that piece where it sparks their curiosity, it gets really difficult to show them anything else, right? And oftentimes we see students that do get interested in the health sciences their interest is also sparked by their own personal experience. And by personal experience, I mean the lack of health care in Indian country is quite significant. When we think of the Indian Health Service really only serves a small portion of the overall number of Native Americans in the United States. So there are more urban Native Americans than there are rural. In fact, the urban Native Americans across the United States receive less than 1% of the services and funding through IHS. And so we see this huge gap in health and service in providing care to our Native populations. But a lot of our rural and underserved people really suffer at the hands of not having specialty care, lack of access and nearby access to receive care. And so our students that I've seen over the years in the programs that I've served, a lot of them have these personal stories of parents, aunts, uncles, cousins, siblings, and grandparents who have suffered because of the lack of health care and also the lack of culturally appropriate health care. So it's my hope that we can begin penetrating the system in many ways to meet those needs.
So help me understand that term, culturally appropriate health care. What do you mean by that?
So by culturally appropriate healthcare, I mean if we have a non-Native physician working with Native patients in a rural or underserved area, the ability for that provider to care for patients and understand their cultural ways of being, their traditional ways of being, and understanding that the Western medicine piece may be able to respond to the acute care of that patient, but it may not be able to respond to the wellness and the holistic well-being of that patient. And so when I think of culturally appropriate healthcare, it's a provider that has the experience, knowledge, and skills with both of those lenses. And our medical system and education system really is reliant on those biomedical sciences and prepares physicians to provide acute care. It doesn't always, however, provide that holistic wellness piece that we hope to aspire to in terms of responding to our Native populations. And as every Native population and tribe differs in terms of traditional ways of health and being, it's my hope that even at some level here at WSU, that we begin creating a curriculum of appropriate cultural response to patients across the state of Washington.
We're talking with Dr. Naomi Bender, who's WSU's Director of Native American Health Sciences. Outside her Spokane office is a whiteboard with a long list of initiatives she has begun or hopes to begin.
A lot of my work has to do with building relationships and partnerships and collaborations with tribes, to include our MOU tribes, their clinics, helping bridge our colleges with those clinics in terms of building clinical affiliation agreements so that our students can rotate in years 3 and 4, whether that be in the College of Pharmacy, Nursing, or Medicine, so that our students get experiences in those rural and underserved areas. And it may, you know, trigger that student to stay in that area as well. Some other pieces I'm working on are the pathway pieces and finding funding for those pieces. There's almost 18, I believe, programs that I'm looking at hopefully creating from a very young age, going all the way through into residency for medical students and then as well as post programs for nursing and pharmacy students. Beyond the scope of recruitment and pathway building, I'm also hoping to actuate real change in terms of what WSU's campus does to help promote that culturally appropriate healthcare I talked to you about. So to me, it's not suffice to say that we only educate students on Native American ways of treatment and well-being. We can say that about several populations in the state of Washington. And when we think of the Hispanic population and other populations, it's important that all of our students, regardless of race, ethnicity, or citizenship, learn cultural competency ways of treatment for patients and understanding that their own implicit bias really has an effect on their patient and their health outcomes. And if we can really penetrate the curriculum and help change and shift how our students go out as healthcare providers in the state of Washington, that means we're also penetrating the healthcare system across the board and patients' outcomes. And I think more in a process and systems way, so I don't think of things in a vessel. I don't work in a vessel. I try as hard as I can to make sure that we're bringing in every aspect possible to create the best means to providing support for students and educating them and getting them out into the workforce.
Is it true that Native American students who are trained as nurses, as pharmacists, as doctors tend to go more back into their own communities and work?
We can say that about what I would consider really traditional Native students, right? Because if you have traditional Native students that have grown up in and around their reservation or rural and underserved area, they have been embedded, right, in that system, and so they understand it, they've lived it. And so oftentimes part of what's inspired them to come to school is because they want to go back and serve their people. So yes, we see that cultural connection is what I like to call the cultural connectivity, and then that promise to go back and serve their people. And in my experience, I've often seen our students, even back in North Dakota, serve another tribe, perhaps, or another rural and underserved area before they go back and serve their people. That gives them time to build confidence as a provider and be able to really hone in on their skills before they go back home. And it's always good to serve other tribal communities as well.
So then do WSU, University of North Dakota, other schools give them enough of the education they need in order to be able to go do that in the best way possible?
Yes. Out of 153 medical schools right now in the United States, there are 8 that really focus on Native American programming. When I came out here, WSU stated they wanted to be the 9th, and that to me helped bring me here, really. That really helped shine a light on why I wanted to come out here. To be that kind of institution means you have to have full commitment from the leadership all the way down. It means you have to have support and true commitment from your community, all of your colleges, your deans, your faculty, your staff. It's all encompassing. So it's exciting to see that here. But when we're creating those spaces, it means we're dedicated to the education that's required to promote that kind of work for our students and send them out. So I would say yes, University of North Dakota does a great job of that. University of Washington has a good program. University of Minnesota, Minneapolis, University of Minnesota, Duluth, New Mexico, University of Arizona. There's several programs that do a fantastic job, and I see us doing something different from all those programs. We're doing things right now that are different from the program that I came from that's been successful and at the top. One example of that is this medical school is fantastic about trying to get out and build clinical affiliation agreements with our tribes, and I'm helping them go out and do that. We didn't do that back home. So that means our students are inside clinics, in tribal clinics, and serving a population that they're likely to serve later, even if it's not in that setting. And that's exciting, because they need to be able to serve a multitude of patients and understand that type of care. And so it's exciting. There's things, like I said, we're doing here that we're not doing back in North Dakota or in the Midwest.
And are there other things they need to do on campus, on the clinical campuses, in order to be able to carry that on to build that infrastructure, so to speak?
One thing that I'm working on right now is, in part of having a clinical affiliation agreement with a clinic, to me it's important that our students are prepared to go into that setting. And so to create an orientation day or two about learning about that culture and where they're going and the type of patients they'll serve, and then having another day within that clinic from their providers and team to help acclimate that student into the setting. So we don't want that student to fail. We also don't want, the providers to feel that someone's coming in that's not culturally ready. And so to me, those are some bridge pieces that are invaluable when we think about the student's experience and that of the clinics, because we want to make sure that we're continually having good relationships with those clinics and that these experiences are meaningful for all parties involved.
So is your measure of success include not only building that infrastructure, but also building the number of students that you want to get in as doctors and that sort of thing? Do you have goals for that?
One of my goals is to create seats. The institution that I came from is the only medical school that I'm aware of in the United States that had designated seats for American Indian and Alaska Native students who were federally enrolled in recognized tribes. Now, part of that is because of the promise by the federal government to honor promises of helping matriculate and succeed Native health professionals into the workforce because of the significant amount of health disparities among our American Indian and Alaska Native populations. And so how do we penetrate that? It's hard to get non-Native physicians and nurses and other providers to go work in those areas. And it's hard to get Native students to matriculate into these programs. And so it becomes this like really difficult situation. And so you see the lack of health care and support and that cultural piece almost at every clinic, right? And so to me, one way to secure the ability for us to matriculate students and succeed them is by providing a similar setting where, let's say, we have additional seats from the regular class of medical students of an additional 4 students. Now, mind you, those students would have to meet the same qualifications as everyone else, and they'd have to go through the same process as everyone else. But what that does is it provides a catalyst for us to continually matriculate and send out a physician workforce. So if we think of it that way, if you brought in 4 every year for the next 4 years, in the next 12 years, there'll be 16 Native physicians that we just educated and that will go out and work in Washington.
And does success in this case sort of have a way of continuing itself? If students understand that WSU has become one of those medical schools that is quote-unquote friendly to Native students, does that tend to sort of mean you're going to get more and more applicants for those seats, those slots?
Yes, I just had this conversation the other day about this this idea, and just because I came from a program that was nationally known, I could say InMed, and people know what I'm talking about almost anywhere I go, is that we create a system and a real system that is not just, that it doesn't just reside on our campus, but something that's so meaningful. We have these partnerships and agreements with all these tribes, and I just see this as a bigger statewide global piece that's unlike any other medical school or health science institution in the United States. And by stating that, I think we elevate ourselves in terms of students having interest in coming here, right? They would want to go to the place that doesn't just help support getting them there and have the support services on campus to help them succeed, but also partnering with multiple Native physicians who, by the way, are on board and helping with this, who want to help mentor them all the way from the beginning of their applications through residency. And that's also unheard of, right? To have the access to all of the support is so important. And then also helping bridge some of the residency pieces into going out and serving their people. And so to me, that's quite a different look than saying we're going to build pathway programs, we're going to get you here, and then we hope you do well, see you later, right? Because when we think of institutions, we get them here, we graduate them, and they go off into the workforce. We're proud of them, but sometimes we lose that sight of how we really, I guess, changed their life and how they're changing the healthcare system. And I would like to see more of a bridge even beyond graduation for our students. And again, I'd say the last piece that I'm focusing on right now is really creating a full integrated system that impacts the healthcare system across the state of Washington. So it's not enough to say that we're just bringing in students and we're making doctors, nurses, and pharmacy doctors and, you know, family nurse practitioners. I'd like to see us get to a place where we are the first institution that's providing culturally competent education for our providers that really actuate change inside healthcare and response to patient need. That just doesn't happen anywhere else. And so we're on board. I've got people on board, but the leader of this campus is on board. We want to create something so unique and so meaningful for the state of Washington that people are going to want to come here.
Dr. Naomi Bender is Washington State University's Director of Native American Health Sciences. You heard her on the Inland Journal podcast, which you can find at iTunes, NPR One, or Google Play, or on the Inland Journal page at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Comments about the program should go to InlandJournal@kpbx.org, or if you'd like to leave a voice comment, reach us at 509-232-6904. I'm Doug Nadvornik, glad to share another edition of the program. See you next time.